Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, and I'm glad that you're here for this Thursday morning edition. And we are going to look at some things going on around us in the Brotherhood this morning. And also, we're going to spend time in God's Word this morning in our ongoing study of the New Testament in 2016. And this morning, as we cover a chapter a day, we're going to examine one of those little nuggets, one of those little treasures that we find in our New Testament, and that is the letter from Paul to Philemon. And so we'll be looking at that in a few minutes, but before we do that, let's look around at some things that are going on. And one of those is coming up Saturday, October the 15th, just a couple of days away, in Emory, Texas. And that is going to be a seminar on restoration in America. The time will begin at 9 a.m. and run to 3 p.m. The speakers will include Brother Bradley Cobb and Brother Mark McWhorter. And for more information, you can contact the Brethren in Emory at 903-473-2658. That's 903-473-2658. Also now, beginning Sunday the 16th and running through the 19th, is going to be a gospel meeting in Malvern, Arkansas at the North Main Church of Christ. The topic is going to be Saving the Saints, and the speaker is going to be Brother Adam Orr. Topics will include Saving the Saints from Apostasy, Saving the Saints from Apathy, from Idolatry, from Anxiety, and the Adversary. This is going to be a great event coming up. For more information on this event at the North Main Church of Christ in Malvern, Arkansas, call 501-332-2273. Right around the corner for you ladies is the North Jefferson Church of Christ Ladies' Day. This is the 13th annual event in Mount Pleasant, Texas, and the speaker is going to be Holly McCormick. The topic is going to be Living Without Fear in This Present Culture. What a timely subject this will be. For more information, you can call 903-572-1136. That's for the North Jefferson Ladies' Day in Mount Pleasant, Texas, coming up on October the 22nd. October 30th through November the 3rd, there is going to be a gospel meeting in Marshall, Texas. The speaker is going to be Brother Charles Harris, and the topic is going to be, Have You Ever Wondered? And we'll have more information on that as we get closer to time. We also want to note for the young people, the Bible Bowl event of Northeast Texas, this 2016-2017 school year event is held once a month at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Now, October's first meeting was held this past Monday over the topic of Ruth. In November, we'll be looking at Esther, chapters 1 through 5. In December, Esther, chapters 6 through 10. In January, Daniel 1 through 3. February, Daniel 4 to 6. March, Daniel 7 to 9. And April, Daniel 10 to 12. So the next one will be coming up the second Monday in November. They're in Mount Pleasant at the North Jefferson Building, and the testing will be over Esther, chapters 1 through 5. Also, mark your calendars for November the 5th and the 6th, and that is going to be the third annual Gospel Radio Network Lectureship and Supporters Banquet. This year's theme is Proclaiming the Gospel of Peace. This will be held at the building in Mount Vernon at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, the home of the Gospel Radio Network. These will be live, but if you're not able to attend, we encourage you to tune in to TGRN, where this event will be broadcast. And it'll begin on Saturday morning, November the 5th at 9 a.m. as Brother Mike Bonner speaks on the Gospel of Peace. At 10 a.m., Brother Brian Hodge will speak on the God of Peace. At 11 a.m., Brother John Hall will speak on the Prince of Peace. At noon will be the annual Broadcasters and Supporters Banquet. And then at 1:30, Brother Brian Burdo will speak on the Gospel of Peace Unites. At 2:30 p.m., Brother Clay Bond, the Gospel of Peace Divides. And at 3:30 p.m., Brother John McCormick, the Gospel of Peace is the answer to our social problems. That'll conclude the day on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the Lord's Day, November the 6th at 9:30 a.m., Brother Preston McElyea will speak on Blessed Are the Peacemakers. At 10:30 a.m., Brother Phil Hancock on the Peace That Passes Understanding. At noon, there will be a potluck lunch for everybody. And then at 1:30 p.m., Brother J.J. Hendricks will speak on Beautiful Are the Feet of Those Who Proclaim the Gospel. That is the third annual Gospel Radio Network Lectureship and Supporters Banquet. Now, one note, especially regarding the banquet at noon on Saturday, this is for broadcasters, those who financially support the work, those who pray for the work, those who are just interested in the work. You are invited to come and attend this. There will be a barbecue luncheon that you won't want to miss. Also, there will be updates from Brother Smithy concerning the work of the network and how things are going. So be sure to make plans to attend. Okay, at this time, we're going to turn our attention to God's Word this morning. And today we consider the book of Philemon. What a great, great little nugget this is in the Old Testament. I mean, in the New Testament. One chapter, but powerfully packed. Now, Paul clearly identifies himself as the author of the book. This is a personal letter, a little different than most of his writings that we have. But he identified himself in verse 1 when he said, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. The recipient was Philemon. In that same verse, he said to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Now, most scholars place the time for this writing to be around 62 A.D., and it was written about the same time as the letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians and the Philippians. And these letters were written while Paul was a prisoner in Rome. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. We see Paul as a prisoner at this time. Colossians 4:18 says, this salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul was in chains for the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20, he said, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Though he was in chains, Paul would continue to speak the gospel. In the letter to the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. You see, Paul was fruitful even in his chains. We see that he had converted, helped to cause many of Caesar's household to turn to Christ. Philippians 4:22, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. But Paul believed that he would obtain release from prison. He believed that he would obtain his release. In verse 22 here in Philemon, he said, "But meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." Now we find that Tychicus had delivered the letters to the Ephesians and the Colossians. And this is important, but now let's note Ephesians 6:21, "But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you." And to the Colossians in chapter 4:7-8, "Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts." Now this is important to note because Onesimus, who is the subject of our letter today, was a companion of Tychicus, as we see in the next verse there in Colossians 4. Now notice that verse, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here." So, we see that Onesimus was a very profitable to Paul and was of great use. So now when we think about the letter here to Philemon, Lipscomb wrote about this. He said it was a letter of commendation of a slave of Philemon who had run away from his master on account of some offense he had committed. By some means he fell under the influence of Paul in Rome, who taught the gospel to him, to which he became obedient and then desired to return to his master. Barnes, in his note, said this letter is almost wholly of a private character, and yet there is scarcely any portion of the New Testament of equal length which is of more value. Now, we could take this letter to Philemon, and it's often generally broken down into five sections. First, we see Paul's greetings, and then Paul's appreciation for Philemon, and then Paul mediates on behalf of Onesimus, and then we see Paul's confidence in Philemon to do the right thing, and then finally Paul's closing salutations. So with those thoughts in mind, let's begin now to look at this letter. And the first thing we have is Paul's greetings, which we find in the first three verses. Again, verse 1, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer." Now, as we noted earlier, Paul is writing this letter while he's a prisoner in Rome. In fact, a prisoner because of his faith in Jesus Christ. But he points out that he is more bound to the Lord than the Roman authorities. Now Paul, in this letter, did not identify himself as an apostle in the salutation, in the greetings, but there was no need for him to do that. For Philemon and Paul were well acquainted, and there was no need to remind Philemon of his apostolic authority, for Philemon would have been well aware of that. And so Paul makes his request to Philemon in the form of an appeal by a friend rather than the command of an apostle. Paul never took glory in himself, and he would only identify himself as an apostle when it was required by the situation that he was dealing with. Now we see at times that he did. To the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Also to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So Paul here to Philemon just simply identifies himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And we see that Timothy also sends greetings to their beloved brother Philemon. Philemon had been a fruitful worker in the kingdom of the Lord. Since Paul identifies him here as a fellow laborer, he would not call him that lightly, unless he would only do that if it were the case. Remember, Paul was not one that was filled with hypocrisy, so he wouldn't call Philemon a fellow laborer if he's not. We might recall that it was Paul that withstood Peter face to face about his hypocrisy in Galatians chapter 2. Now verse 2 says, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Apphia was very possibly the wife of Philemon, though we cannot dogmatically say that. But whoever she was obviously a beloved sister. Archippus, Paul refers to him as his fellow soldier. Archippus obviously would have been a true and dedicated soldier of the cross, and in all likelihood would have suffered as a soldier of the cross, much like Paul did. Some of the scholars believe that Archippus was the son of Philemon. It is likely that he was a preacher of the gospel, if you consider Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. The fellow soldier of the cross, Archippus. And greetings were also sent to the church that met in the house of Philemon. We do not know how many members there were of this congregation. We don't know if it was more than just family members. But we do know that whatever their numbers were, that they were indeed a faithful congregation of the Lord's church. And in verse 3, Paul sends grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always desired for God's grace to be upon the saints everywhere. And Paul always desired peace for the brethren. Yes, of course, Paul desired a physical peace for the brethren, the ability to worship unmolested and to live peaceably with men. But he had a far greater desire for the brethren to have a spiritual peace. And these were things that Paul always desired for the church, wherever they met. And when you think about it, what greater thing could you pray for regarding your brethren around the world? And so we see Paul's greetings. And now, as we look at the verses 4 through 7 in our next section, we see Paul's appreciation for his beloved brother Philemon. Concerning Philemon in verse 4, Paul said, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Without doubt, Philemon was certainly of great use to the church in his daily life. Philemon was obviously blessed to have someone like the Apostle Paul praying for him regularly. What a great blessing that was for Philemon. But today, there are Christians that are still blessed by the prayers of righteous men and women. James in chapter 5 and verse 16 said, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I certainly covet the prayers of each of you. And we need to pray for each other in so many ways. You know, we live busy lives, but no matter how busy we get, we need to take time to pray for the saints. Listen to some of the things about Paul that we read in Scripture. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Praying for the brethren." Ephesians 1:16, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." To the Thessalonians in the first letter, chapter 1 and verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." In the second letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other." Faithful brethren need our prayers on their behalf to be strong, courageous, bold, and faithful. How much time and how often are you spending in prayer for those laborers in the kingdom around you? I hope it is often and regular, and if not, I would encourage you to begin to do so, for it is of vital importance. In verse 8, Paul said, "Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." We see Paul's love and gratitude toward Philemon. Paul, very much aware of Philemon's love and faith in Christ, and because of that, Paul would have an easier time in approaching Philemon about the difficult and tender situation at hand concerning his runaway slave Onesimus. This was certainly a situation which had the potential for disaster. But Paul, however, was well aware of the kindness and the love that had been shown by Philemon toward the brethren in the past. And this emboldened Paul to believe and be confident that Philemon would move with love and kindness toward his new brother in Christ, Onesimus. Paul was confident that his attitude would be right when he found out that Onesimus was now a brother. He left a slave but was going to return a brother. Philemon caused Paul to feel this way because he had already demonstrated his faith by his works. He was living the life that a faithful Christian should be living. Remember the teaching of James in chapter 2? Let's go back there and begin in verse 17, where we see that if we have faith, it will be shown by one's works. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is the principle that we see in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Here, if a man has faith, you will see works. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Yes, we show our faith by our works. In 1 John also, in chapter 5, consider verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Philemon was a man who was living his faith out on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit would not have moved Paul to write such if it were not true. In verse 6, he said that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now here, in the New King James, it is translated sharing, or the original King James says communication. The ASV says fellowship. The communication of your faith, the fellowship of your faith, the sharing of your faith. We can see the deep meaning in all three of these renderings. Paul wanted Philemon's love of the word to come out, to show forth, and to do it enthusiastically, and to do it effectively. Paul's thought was that if Philemon realized how fortunate and blessed he was, then he would be more likely to forgive and to accept Onesimus back as a brother. Burton Kaufman here said that the name of Onesimus, not yet mentioned by Paul, nevertheless is in the background of all that Paul wrote in these verses. A part of delicacy and charm of this epistle lies in the very hesitation on the part of Paul in bringing up what must have been considered to be a very unpleasant subject with his friend Philemon. Paul cleared the ground and cultivated the soil very carefully before planting the name of Onesimus in verse 10. In verse 7 here, Paul continues to effectively work on the heart and mind of Philemon. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Paul writes of the great joy that he and others feel when they see the Christian kindness and love that Philemon had shown to others. He was looking forward to seeing that again. And he pointed out that things that Philemon had done in the past had brought rest or refreshing to the hearts of the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 18, Paul said, "For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men." That's exactly what Paul was doing here towards Philemon. He was acknowledging that type of man. Paul refers to Philemon as his brother. The affection for Philemon was very dear and very close. You know, we need to be careful how we throw around the term of brother or sister. It should be reserved only for those of like precious faith. And so now we see, beginning in verse 8, Paul now has commended Philemon for his past conduct. And now he turns his attention to the situation of Onesimus. We see this in verses 8 through 16. "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting," Paul now begins his intercession on behalf of Onesimus. Paul had the authority as an apostle to command Philemon to take Onesimus back. But Paul, in the very next verse, says that he will not command Philemon to properly take back Onesimus. He wanted Philemon to take him back on his own decision. What great confidence we see in Paul here toward his brother. He fully believed that Philemon would do the right thing. What kind of confidence does others have in you? Do others have the same type of confidence in you that you will do the right thing? Paul is about to request that Onesimus be taken back by Philemon as a slave in his service. The Lord did not tell them to release slaves as a direct command. However, the teachings of Christ would have an effect on the institution of slavery, as men would realize that it was incompatible with the teachings of Christ. The power of the gospel would soon bring man to this realization of its wrongs. How can a Christian hold a brother in Christ against his will? How can he fulfill the command to follow that golden rule that Jesus spoke of in the Sermon on the Mount, to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you? And in verse 9, he said, "Yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me." Paul pleads to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, who Paul regards as a son in the faith. Paul pleads as the aged. Paul doubtless would have suffered a great physical toll on his body over the years from the trials and tribulations and persecutions, in addition to the march of time. And Paul also pleads to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus because of the help he had rendered to Paul as a prisoner. Paul had been in chains for simply spreading the gospel. Paul had continued to spread the gospel while he was imprisoned. He converted guards, prisoners, and visitors. Consider Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Onesimus had been converted by Paul while either visiting or perhaps he was a prisoner himself. Most likely, he was a prisoner, since he had made himself a fugitive when he fled from Philemon earlier. And Paul continues his plea in verse 12. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. How brilliant is Paul in his plea. Onesimus is being sent back to Philemon. And if you recall, back in our introductory thoughts at the beginning of our time together today, we talked about the fact that Philemon was a close associate of Tychicus, who had delivered several of these letters. So in fact, it is very possible that he was the one that delivered Paul's letter to the Colossians on his way, as we mentioned in the introduction. Think of that possibility. Let's go back and consider now Colossians 4 again, beginning in verse 7. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Now back in our text, Paul admitted to Philemon that he was aware that Onesimus in times past had not been profitable to him. And Paul could have chose to keep Onesimus with him, since he was of great help. He basically said that he did what he knew Philemon would do if they had traded places. He could have also sent the letter to Philemon by Tychicus only, and informed him about Onesimus and that he was going to keep Onesimus with him in prison. And if Paul had done this, in reality, Philemon would have had no option but to accept what Paul had done. But Paul, however, sets a great example for all of us who find ourselves in the occasional ethical quandary. He wanted to do what was most right. He would send Onesimus back to Philemon in person and allow Philemon to make the ultimate decision regarding the fate of Onesimus. We might also consider in this the fact that Onesimus' sin against Philemon had occurred before his obedience to the gospel. But to bring forth the fruit of repentance It was within Onesimus's power to go back to Philemon. And so that he would do in an attempt to right his previous wrong where he had the power to do so. And it took great courage and faith on the part of Onesimus to do that, for in doing so, he was accepting whatever consequence may follow. And so Paul continues on now in verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So Paul suggested that perhaps the departure of Onesimus from Philemon was a providential act of the Lord. By allowing Onesimus to depart for a time, it may have allowed these two men to spend eternity together as brothers. Think about it. Before this, they may have been headed towards the loss of the soul of Onesimus, and very possibly even Philemon, if his actions toward Onesimus were to become sinful. Consider the providence of God. Onesimus had left as a runaway slave and was returning to Philemon as his brother in Christ. Paul was a man of great wisdom. He said that Onesimus had departed for a while, rather than point to him as a runaway slave. Consider the Christian duty of these two men in this situation. Onesimus, he had done wrong to his master by running away, and now as a Christian, it was his duty to return to his master and accept whatever punishment awaited at the hand of Philemon. And Philemon, as a Christian, must accept Onesimus back as a brother in Christ. They were master and slave, brothers in Christ. Kaufman noted that any person obeying the gospel of Christ becomes the brother beloved of every Christian, to whom all the rights, honors, privileges, and love of Christian fellowship accrue as a right derived from their being in the Lord. This pertained to the relationship between Paul and Onesimus, but even more so to the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. Paul might not have direct contact in the future with Onesimus and Philemon, but Philemon and Onesimus would be in service to Christ together until death. And so now in the following verses 17 to 22, now that Paul has made his plea for Onesimus, let us see the confidence of Paul in how Philemon will react. Verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Paul considered Philemon a partner, a fellow laborer in the faith. They were indeed spiritual partners. If Philemon felt the same way toward Paul, then he would receive Onesimus back just as if he were the apostle himself. Paul spoke about Titus in the same way as he was talking of Philemon. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. What a mature and magnificent attitude in the heart of Paul. Look at verse 18. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Paul would take care of any debt caused by Onesimus. Indeed, Paul had learned the lesson of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Onesimus leaving might have cost Philemon in a number of ways, and Paul was willing to take care of any loss. Philemon would not charge Paul if he showed the same attitude that Paul had. A mature attitude on the part of Philemon would forgive Onesimus of any debt. In verse 19, Paul says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Paul was an absolute genius. Concerning this, Roy Deaver wrote, he said, Paul gave a gentle yet pointed reminder that Philemon himself owed himself to Paul. It must have been Paul who converted Philemon, probably while Paul was working in Ephesus. Do we not owe debts of gratitude also to those who bring us along in our spiritual walk? I think of my wife, whose gentle and constant efforts that moved me in my spiritual walk. I think of Brother Jack Paul, who taught me a love of the gospel. Brother David Baker, who grounded me, helped me to ground in the faith. And each of you can think of those who took an interest in the time to help you in your spiritual walk. Those debts of gratitude that we owe, have you thanked those? We should always look for a way to repay the debt of gratitude to those that helped us grow. Far too many are trying to avoid the payment of their spiritual debts in the same way that many avoid paying their physical debts. You know, as Christians, we need to make every effort to pay our spiritual debts just as we do our physical debts. In verse 20, Paul said, Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Paul desires to see Philemon do as he should, and it would bring great joy to the spirit of this aging apostle if he would do that. Paul was obviously anxious. We can tell this by the tone of his letter. And Philemon was now going to have the opportunity to give Paul a refreshing about the matter of Onesimus. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Paul was confident from past experiences with Philemon that he was the kind of man who would exceed expectations and go beyond what was required of him. Paul believed that Philemon would do just that. Are you a Philemon? Are there people that you know can be counted on to go beyond what is expected of them? I can count on a number of my brethren to do just that. These are the people that make our spiritual walk so much more joyous. When we think of Philemon going beyond what was expected, it may well have included setting Onesimus free and allowing him to go back and assist Paul. Now, we can only speculate, but that is certainly a reasonable assumption. Let us build our confidences in each other by exceeding expectations more often. Verse 22. But meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. What a powerful statement by Paul. Paul had confidence that the prayers of Philemon and others would help to obtain his release. He was so confident, even to the point of telling him to get a guest room ready for him. Yes, my friends, the prayers of the righteous do avail much. His release would also include a visit to see the Philippians. Notice Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. You know, we might also recall that the prayers of the saints obtained Peter's release from prison also back in Acts chapter 12. We each need to believe more in the power of prayer. Again, Roy Deaver noted, he said, by studying Paul's many references to his prayers, we can obtain a detailed picture of Paul's prayer life. If Paul needed the prayers of others, how much more do we need the prayers of others? How truly thankful so many people must have been to know that they were included in Paul's prayers. How wonderful it is to know that faithful Christians are constantly praying in our behalf. And so we've seen Paul's confidence in what the reaction of Philemon would be to the return of Onesimus. And now we see final salutations in the last three verses here. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We see that Epaphras sends his greetings to Philemon as he is in prison with Paul for the cause of Christ. Mark also sent greetings. Obviously, Mark by this time had worked his way back into favor with Paul before their previous problems had existed when Mark had deserted earlier. Aristarchus was a close fellow laborer of Paul. Paul mentions him several times in the scriptures, and he's also mentioned in the book of Acts. We see Demas. At this time, Demas was a faithful soldier of the cross. Unfortunately, Demas would later return back to the world. Luke, the beloved physician, also sends greetings to Philemon. Paul's great desire was for the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ to be upon Philemon and the church that met in his home. And so, when we think about this book of Philemon, I think quickly there are six things that we need to learn from this book. One, that all men are created equal. Two, that God can use anyone who is strong and of good courage, even a runaway slave in the city of Rome. Three, there is no partiality for Christians. Paul befriended a lowly slave. He also preached to kings. We must care about each and every soul just as Paul did. We learn also that Christians, to be mature, must develop a spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation with those who have been at issue with us. We need to have the type of spirit that we see in Philemon. And Christians must be willing, as we see in Onesimus, to make a wrong right and make every effort to pay our moral and physical debts. And also, through the confidence of Paul and the power of prayer, we see the power of prayer and know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What a powerful little book, the book of Philemon. Our time is about up today. I hope you've enjoyed this time we've been together, that it's been beneficial for you. Hope that you will stay tuned through the day for all of the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. This program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the archive section, where you can pick up this program or any others you might have missed and catch up in your study through the Bible this year. And if the Lord wills, we'll see you again next time. Stay tuned. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central Time as Chris and JJ will turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 1. We don't want to miss any of those lessons in Hebrews. What a great book for us to spend time chewing upon over the next couple of weeks. So tune in tomorrow for Hebrews chapter 1. Until next time, it's Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.